through tonight. If you'll take your Bibles and open to me to James chapter 1 and 26 through 27 in God's Word tonight. James chapter 1 and 26 through 27 in God's Holy Word tonight. God's Word, James 1 and 26 through 27. As we do our study tonight on the book of James tonight, what I want to do tonight is speak on the subject of counterfeit Christianity. James chapter 1 and 26 through 27, just two verses of Scripture tonight that I want to speak on. Amen? You have God's Word tonight, hold them in the air. Praise God for the Bibles in the house of the Lord. James 1, 26 through 27, please stand now in the honor of reading of God's holy inspired Word. As the writer James points out about the importance of understanding there is counterfeit Christianity in the church in the world today. The writer James says in verse 26, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Friends, I believe right now in churches all across America, we have many folks that are counterfeit sitting in the pews of our churches. My prayer tonight is that each person here tonight knows Jesus Christ in the power of salvation. I pray tonight you're the real deal, you're genuine, and not a product of counterfeit Christianity. Let us pray. Father, I pray tonight as the Word of God is being proclaimed, I pray tonight, Lord, your Holy Spirit will speak through me as I preach your Word tonight. I pray tonight the Word of God will come across clearly, and I pray the Word of God will speak through our hearts. And I pray tonight there be somebody in this church, Lord, who is not real, who is not the real deal, who's a counterfeit Christian. I pray tonight, may the Spirit of God convict them, may the Spirit of God show them the error of their ways, and I pray tonight, God, they'll get right and make things right with you. God, we know your Word says there are wheat and there are tares, there are sheep and there are goats. And Lord, there's many folks right now that fill the pews of churches all across this land, Lord. We know there's many of them that are playing a game. They're playing church. But Lord, these folks don't know you as their personal Savior and Lord. So Father, I pray as I speak that God, you'll speak through me and be my mouthpiece. And may the Word of God fall on good soil tonight. Now I pray, God, you'll save the lost. You'll work in the hearts of the backslider and draw them back to you. And I pray finally, you'll bind every demon of hell from the service here tonight. We ask you, Lord, to bind them and cast them out. In the name of Jesus Christ, who conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the people of God all said, and amen. You can be seated. Church, I want to speak tonight on the subject of counterfeit Christianity. Here we find in James chapter 1 and verse 26 through 27 in the Word of God, we find a passage of Scripture where the writer of James, church, is showing us how to spot false Christianity, how to spot false saints that might fill the pews of our churches. Friends, I believe right now one of the grave dangers we have in America today is we have many folks that fill the pews of churches, both Baptist, Methodist, every church you can imagine. We have many folks that fill the pews of our churches that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, bear in mind, they come to church, they play the game, they appear to be saved, they look that way on the outside, but church on the inside, they're as empty church as can be. I believe in the church today, we have three kinds of people. Here tonight, we have believers, we have unbelievers, and friends, sad to say, there's many make-believers. There's many folks in the church today that pretend to be saved, but church is not the real deal. Matter of fact, years ago, they questioned Billy Graham, and they asked him this great question. They said, "Billy Graham, are you amongst that narrow group that believes only Baptists are going to heaven?" He said, "Boys," he said, "it's worse than that. I believe some Baptists aren't going to heaven." Listen, church, I'm telling you, friends, that crowd is large. There's many counterfeit Christians that fill the pews of our churches. So how do we tell what is real and how do we tell what is false? Well, the Word of God, church, says it plain in Matthew chapter 7. The Word of God said in Matthew 7 and verse 20, "And by their fruits you shall know them." The Word of God says you'll know who's saved by the fruit in their life. Now, fruit, church, are not works. Everybody has works. A lost man can have works and a saved man can have works, but only a saved man, church, is going to have fruit, because fruit is not what you do. Fruit is who you are. The Word of God said fruit is your character as a child of God. So when God saves you, church, God begins to change the character, because when God changes the character, the works are going to follow. So the Bible says you shall know them by their fruits. What you plant in the ground is going to be produced on that tree. If you plant a pear seed, that tree is going to bear pears. If you plant an apple seed, seed, that tree is going to bear apples. The Lord God Almighty says, you shall know them by their fruits. You will know who is real and you will know who is false by their character, how they behave, how they act, and who they are. Because the Bible says, if a man is truly saved by the grace of God, he's not the same, church. The Bible says he is a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. Hey, when God moves in, he makes a change. Amen? So, church, I want to say from the Word of God here tonight two very important things the writer James points out about how to spot false Christians, how to spot counterfeit Christianity in the church. Notice, first of all, church, God's Word shows there's the commonality of false Christianity. Now, what are two common things the writer James points out that is found in the church? Two common things that reveals who these false Christians are. Notice, first of all, church, in God's Word, we see the location of the phony saint. Now, where do you find these phony saints at? Where do you find these counterfeits at? It's a sad place where you find them, but church is right here in the Word of God. Listen to verse 26. Now verse 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious, the writer says, church, that false saints are amongst the saints of God. They're in the same place where the saints of God are. He said, if any man be among you, church, if any man be among you appears to be righteous, but the Bible says, church, if he doesn't live the life, his religion is in vain. So the Bible says there's counterfeit saints, church, all throughout the body of Christ. They sit in church pews. They sing in church choirs. And church, even sadder, sometimes they stand in the pulpit and proclaim the Word of God. The Bible says, church, they're amongst us in the churches. Now the question is, why are these false saints in the house of God? Why do false saints want to be in the house of God? Think about it, church. It's all a part of Satan and his plan. It's Satan's desire to destroy the church from the inside out. It's a whole lot easier to tear a church down on the inside than on the outside. And Satan knows that he can sow his tares in the church, that he can sow his false saints in the church. They'll come to church, they'll carry their Bible, they'll appear to be saved, they'll speak all the right words, they'll look the par, as they come in, they'll appear to be a saint of God, and guess what? In due time, they get leadership, they become deacons, they get in the choir, they get on committees, and sometimes get in the pulpit. Then guess what, church? The devil's man is in charge. It is Satan's desire, church, to destroy the church from the inside. Oh, I said a long time ago, and it's so true, the biggest threat to the church are not woodpeckers on the outside. It's the termites on the inside, church. When Satan moves in, it's an inside job. So the Bible says, beware, they're sown amongst the people of God. They're in the church, in the pews. And friend, this applies to every church across this land. Matter of fact, listen close to God's Word. In Matthew 13 and verse 25, a great story in the Bible called the parable of the wheat and tares. Now bear in mind, this is good. In this parable, the wheat and tares, we find the same word found here that you find in James 1, 26. That same word among. Notice that word among as it appears in Matthew 13 and verse 25. In Matthew 13, 25, God's word says this. It says in verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now here's a famous story in the Bible called the parable of the wheat and the tares. In this parable, the field is symbolic of the church. And the Bible says in that field, there are wheat and there are tares. Listen again to verse 24. In verse 24, he says, and a parable he put forth unto them. Now, a parable, church, means an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He's drawing illustration. He's drawing a picture of the church. Verse 24 says, and put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. That's to say, folks. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, the Bible says, church, the enemy moved in while the people were asleep. All throughout God's Word, you'll find, friends, danger comes when the people go to sleep. In that story of Paul and Silas in that prison cell, the Bible said the prison guard had went to sleep. Oh, friends, it's a grave danger when the church goes to sleep. It's a grave danger when a nation goes to sleep. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 41, we have got to watch and pray, because when the devil tries to move in when the people of God are asleep. So the Bible says the man came in and he sowed good seed in his field. But verse 25, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went on his way. Now verse 26, here's how you tell the wheat from the tares. But when the blade, it says, was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So both seeds were planted in the field. At the same time, they both came up. And notice, church, the Word of God said one was bearing fruit and the other does not. What did God's Word say? By their fruit you shall know them. Listen again to God's word in verse 27. So the servant said to the householder, came and said to him, sirs, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? They said, sir, you sowed good seed. Why are all these tares appearing in the field? And verse 28 says, he said to them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said to him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? So friends, all of a sudden these wheat and tares begin to grow in the garden. Now friends, here's a good word. The Bible said that while man slept, the enemy came in, here's part, and he sowed tares amongst the wheat. Now friends, I did a word study on that word among, and the word among in the Greek language means every other one. That means as those wheat and tares grew up, every other one was a tare. In that field, there was a wheat and there was a tare. There was a wheat and there was a tare. Now friends, put that in the aspect of the local church. What is God saying here? Is God saying it's possible in the church there's that many tares sowed in the body of Christ? Is God saying you can go to the average church and say wheat, tare, wheat, tare, wheat, tare? That's what it said in the word of God. The Bible says there were tares sown amongst the wheat. That many counterfeits were sown in the field. Now, friends, I believe God is giving us here tonight a stern warning from the Word of God. Church, listen, wheat and tares, when they grow up, at first they appear the same. They look the same on the outside. They look identical. The only way, church, you can tell a wheat from the tare is open the inside of that stalk. And the tare is empty and the wheat is not. But, church, on the outside, they both appear to be okay. And that's what God's Word is saying, church. There are folks in the church that look the part. They act the part. They talk the talk. They say the right words, but the Bible says, church, open them up. On the inside, they're as empty as can be. Oh, friends, the Bible says, make sure as a child of God you're saved. Make sure as a child of God that you know Christ as your Savior and Lord and not a part of this counterfeit Christianity. Matter of fact, church, here's a great word on wheat and tares. If you go to a field, when wheat and tares grow, here's something very interesting. When wheat and tares grow in the field, when the wind blows, church, the wheat will always bend, but the tares never bend because tares are stiff and tares are hard. So as you stand out there and gaze at that field, you can always spot the wheat and the tares when the wind blows. Because when the wind blows, the wheat will bow and the tares stand right up. Oh, friends, here's a great word on the church. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is symbolic of wind. The Bible says the Holy Spirit of God moves in like a mighty rushing wind. Here's how you spot tares in the house of God. When you get in the service and the Spirit of God moves in a mighty way and the Spirit of God falls on the church, the wheat are going to bend. The children of God are going to bow. The children of God are going to praise God. But oh, friends, the tares will stand there. They don't move one bit. They'll stand there with arms folded. They'll stand there as stiff as can be because they're empty on the inside. Oh, friends, are you wheat or are you tare? The Bible says, church, notice the location of the phony saint. They are found, church, sown in the body of Christ. Second of all, we see from God's word. First of all, he showed the location of the phony saint. But, oh, church, second of all, he shows there's the looks of the phony saint. Notice how they appear in verse 26. Now, verse 26 says, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, friends, notice the key word in that in verse 26. He said, if any man among you seems to be religious, that means, guess what? He appears to be religious. On the outside, he looks like a child of God. On the outside, he's a counterfeit. He has all those appearances, all the things that appear to be right, but the Lord says there's something missing in his heart. It is very possible, church, to pretend to be saved. It is very possible to come to church and fool this pastor and fool these members and fool these deacons. But church, the real you are who you are when you're by yourself. The real you is not who you are on Sunday. The real you is not who you are on Wednesday in prayer meeting. The real you is not who you are in revival. The real you is who you are when you're by yourself in the home. What kind of person is that? Church, the Bible says the wheat and the tares, they come in, they appear to be religious, they appear to be saved, they appear to know God, but church, the Bible says they are simply lost, they're vain, and they're empty. Listen close to God's word in Timothy 3 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 3, 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There are some, church, the Bible says, they have the appearance of godliness, they appear to walk with God, but deny the very power of God. They don't know God. They don't know know Christ as their Savior and Lord. Oh, church, they are found in the house of God. They look like saints. Sometimes they act like saints. Sometimes they talk like saints. But guess what, church? They ain't. Listen, friends, are you a saint or are you ain't? Which category do you fall into? Amen. The Bible shows, church, first of all, we see from the Word of God, He shows the commonality of false Christianity. Now, church, I want to show you, on the flip side, there's the characteristics of factual Christianity. Now the writer James points the picture of the real deal. Now he shows in the Word of God a picture of a true saint of God. Who a true saint of God is. Notice, first of all, church, how God's Word shows how true Christianity is always revealed through our conversation. Church, speech will say a lot. Listen again to God's Word in verse 26 in the Scripture. And verse 26 again, he says, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. So the Word of God says one mark of a true child of God is how he tames his tongue. That word bridle is a word used with horses, and it draws a picture of gaining control of that horse. When you bridle that horse is held under your power. It's held under your control. So the Word of God says when a man is truly saved by the grace of God, he knows how to bridle his tongue. He knows how to control his tongue. You'd be amazed, church, how many churches are destroyed by wagging tongues. How many homes are destroyed by wagging tongues? How many lives are destroyed by wagging tongues? The Bible says, church, learn how to tame that tongue. Our tongue, friends, is small, but church, it's a deadly weapon. It can destroy so many things in a short period of time. And a child of God says, Lord, I want you to guard my speech. Let my breath give honor and glory unto you. As the Word of God says, let everything that hath breath give praise unto God. We shouldn't praise God in one breath, in the next breath curse His name. We can't praise God in one breath, in next breath use cuss words. Oh, church, either it's right or it's wrong. Let your speech bring honor and glory unto the King of all kings. Amen. Matthew 12 says in God's Word, Matthew 12 and verse 34 says, it's a good word. It says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know what God says? What comes out here reveals what fills your heart inside here. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's like putting a bucket down in a well. If there's filthy water in that well, what comes in that bucket is going to be filthy water. You can't bring up clear water out of a filthy well. If the well is dirty, the bucket and the water in the bucket is going to be dirty. And the same goes, church, for our speech. Our speech reveals what fills our heart. The abundance of things that fills our heart is revealed through our speech. So the Bible says, church, you will know who's saved and who's lost by their speech, by their conversation, what they say, the jokes they tell, the things they say, the words they speak. Church, learn how to guard your speech. Listen close to God's Word in Psalm 39 in verse 1. In Psalm 39 and verse 1, the Bible says, it says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. There's that word again. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. He's saying, Lord, I'm going to bridle my tongue. I'm going to watch what I say, that my words not turn anybody away. Oh, friends, a child of God must guard his speech. Again, the Word of God says in Psalms 141 and verse 3, it says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Now, setting a watch draws a picture of somebody who's guarding. Like when Christ was placed in that borrowed tomb and they rolled that stone over that tomb. There were men that were there to set watch and guard that tomb to make sure nobody got in. And the psalmist says, Lord, set a watch over the door of my mouth. Lord, guard my speech. Make sure nothing leaves my mouth that should not leave my mouth. Let my words bring honor and glory unto you. Lord, keep the door of my lips. Amen, church. The Bible says, learn how to guard our speech. So the Bible says, first of all, church, true Christianity is revealed through our conversation. Church, what you say speaks volumes about who you are. So the Bible says, first of all, we see how true Christianity is revealed through conversation. But second of all, church, true Christianity is also revealed through completeness. Listen again to God's Word in verse 26. Again, the Word of God says in verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his own own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, friends, here's a sad thing about counterfeit Christians. There are many folks in the church, friends, who are counterfeit. They're in their minds, they really think they're saved. The Bible says they're deceiving their own hearts. They convince themselves they know Christ. They tell themselves they know Christ. And here's why, church, because they play the game. They come to church every Sunday. They write their tithing check every Sunday. They work in the church. They convince themselves, I'm truly saved. I belong to the Lord. In their heart, they believe that, church. And the Bible says, church, they're deceiving their own self. And friends, I believe it's going to be a sad day on that day of judgment when all these folks appear before the Lord God Almighty and they hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. I believe on that day, there'll be all kinds of pleading, all kinds of crying, all kinds of excuses. But church, on that day, it's going to be too late. You better make sure you're a saint and not an ain't. You better make sure you're a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Listen close to God's word in Matthew 7 and verse 21. Here's a picture the Bible gives of how it's going to be on that sad day when all those church folks appear before God in judgment and hear those sad words, I never knew you. The Bible says, starting in Matthew 7, the same chapter that talks about how a tree is known by its fruit. Matthew 7 says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Listen close to verse 22. He says, many, not few, not some, not a handful, but many, he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That means preaching. And they'll say, and in thy name have cast out devils. They've done miracles. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Works is plural. That involves choir singing. That involves being involved on committees, being involved in ministry, driving buses, singing in choirs, doing all the things we do in churches. Many wonderful works. The Bible says on that day, many will say to me, Lord, I preached the word of God. Lord, I taught Sunday school. Lord, I drove that van. Lord, I served in soup kitchens. Lord, look at all the things I've done. And then the Bible says, church, in verse 23, and then here's the words of Christ written in red. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Now, friends, that's going to be a sad day for a lot of church members. They'll stand before God and they'll plead their case. But Lord, I was in East Lumberton for 40 years. I was in that class all the time. Lord, check my giving. My tithes are up to date. Lord, look at all the things I did for the church. I was faithful back there in that nursery. I was faithful in that food pantry. He'll just look at them and shake his head and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Just flat out play in church, friends. It's a dangerous place to be. Friends, if you're going to come to church, why not come and enjoy it? If you're going to come to church, why not get saved and enjoy being in the presence of God? If you're going to come anyhow, why not come as a child of God and not as a counterfeit? Amen, church? What a crying shame for a person to spend their entire life serving God in the church, their entire life being in church every time the doors are open, only to die and go to a devil's hell. What a waste of a life, church. Why not make sure you're a part of the family of God? Why not make sure you're a wheat and not a tear? Why not make sure the inside is not empty and the inside is filled with the Holy Ghost of God? And then, church, you can come to church, and friends, it'll put a whole new spin on your ministry. When you come, you'll sing and like it. When you come, friends, to hear the word of God, you'll enjoy it and not get mad. When you come, you'll love that ministry. You'll love driving that bus. You'll love serving on that committee. Because, church, God will put a new spring in your step. Amen. Oh, the Bible shows us, church, the picture of a counterfeit and the picture of the real deal. True Christianity is revealed through conversation. True Christianity is revealed through completeness. The Bible says he's real. He's not vain. And the word vain, church, it means empty. Listen again to God's word in verse 26. Chapter 1 of James in verse 26 says again, if any man among you seems to be, that means guess what? He's not real. He just seems to be. If he seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. The word vain means empty. All that he does is empty. He comes up short. It's all in vain. All that he's done is vain. All his works are vain. All his service is vain. Oh, friends, the Bible says, make sure you are wheat and not tares. Tares are empty. Crack open the head of the stalk. They're empty. They're vain. But, church, the wheat is filled with fruit. Oh, church,
by their fruit, you shall know them, church. The Bible says true Christianity is revealed through conversation. It's revealed through completeness. Third of all, the Bible says true Christianity is revealed through commitment. Listen again to God's word in verse 27. Now he draws a picture of what pure, what holy, what true religion is. Verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. There's no doubt what it is. He tells you here in verse 27. First of all, he says to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Now what does that mean? Is he saying that if a man goes out there and takes care of the widows and takes care of the fatherless, he'll earn a place in heaven? No, that's not what the Word of God is saying. He's drawing a picture of how a true Christian has love for his fellow man, how a true Christian cares about people. He will take care of the widows because he cares about them. He will take care of the fatherless because he cares about them. A true child of God loves people of every kind, of every race. They see mankind as the Lord sees them, as a sinner in need of a Savior. The Word of God declares in His great commandments, number two was, love your neighbor as yourself. And friends, your neighbor is anybody other than you. And the Word of God says the true saint of God is going to love his fellow man. We find in Luke 10, that great story in Luke 10 of the Good Samaritan. And the Bible says there was a man that fell among thieves. He was beat and left there to die. And the first man passes by, and guess who the first man is? The Bible said he was a priest. He was a man of the cloth. And he passed by and saw that man, had no compassion, had no care for his neighbor. And the Bible said he stepped over and passed by on the other side. Then the Bible said a Levite came. Once again, a priestly man. A Levite came, a man of the cloth. He came by and saw that man there beaten, left to die. And he saw that man and avoided him, didn't care about him, tried to avoid getting his hands dirty. He just stepped over and passed by on the other side. Then came that despised Samaritan, that crowd of folks that most folks didn't like. He passed by and saw the man, but church, here is the difference. He felt compassion on that man. He got down and took care of his wounds. He bandaged up his wounds. He put that man on his own donkey. He went into town. He paid the bill. He took care of his need. And then Christ said, which man was a neighbor unto him? Not the priest, not the Levite, but the one that truly cared. Here's what God says. People that are saved, they care about lost souls. They care about folks who are dying and go to hell. They care about folks who are homeless. They care about folks that are hurting. They care about folks who are fatherless. They care about folks who are lonely widows. They care, church. True saints of God are going to have compassion in their heart. So the Bible says if a man is truly saved, first of all, it's seen through his conversation. His conversation will reveal what fills his heart. Then the Bible said it is seen through completeness that he's real. It's not in vain. It's not empty. All that is done for the glory of God. Then the Bible said it's seen through commitment. He cares about people. He cares about lost sinners. He cares about people of all kind. Then church number four. And finally, true Christianity is revealed through consecration. Listen again to God's word, church, in the last part of verse 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, church, our world is a filthy place. Do y'all agree? Say amen. It's a filthy place in church. It's getting dirtier. And the Bible says for a man to be truly a child of God, he keeps himself unspotted from the world. That doesn't mean perfection. Nobody's perfect. Not me, not you. We all sin. But as a child of God, we should try our best to avoid getting stained by this world. And the way to avoid getting stained by the world is avoid being in places that would stain you by the world. For example, church, if I walk by and I see a mud puddle, I got a choice. I can walk through it or I can walk around it. If I walk through it, I'm going to come out dirty. If I go around it, I'm going to come out clean. That's how it is for a child of God. When faced with a situation where there's sin and there's filth, listen, church, don't walk through it. Get around it, church. Stay as far from sin as possible. The Bible says, in God's word, it says, abstain from the very appearance of evil. Don't put yourself in a place where you'll be stained by the world. True children of God want to be clean before God. A true child of God wants to live for God. I meet so many folks who believe in what's called fire insurance. They believe, well, I can just walk the aisle and get saved and live like I want. Not according to God's word, you can't, church. The Bible says once you're saved by the grace of God, you are so in love with Jesus Christ that you want to avoid living a life that is contrary to His word. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. I don't believe you walk through a church door, pray a prayer, and get baptized, then go out there and do what you want. If you're saved by the grace of God, you want to change. If you're saved by the grace of God, you want to serve God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you want to stay clean, unspotted, unstained by the world. And church, you want to walk as close to Christ as you can. Amen. Oh, friends, are you a saint? Or are you an ain't? Which category tonight do you fall into here tonight? Are you the picture of that tear that is empty? You appear to be saved. You look to be saved. Sometimes you talk like you're saved. Sometimes you act like you're saved. But church, on the inside, you're empty on the inside. Are you simply deceiving your own self? There's many folks that think they are, but church, the Bible says they're not. Why do you think Paul said to Corinthians? Paul said, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. What did Paul say? Paul said, take the word of God, let the word of God be a mirror, and examine yourself and ask yourself, does my Christianity match that of the word of God? Does my Christianity that I claim I have, does it measure up with the word of God? Am I living, am I being who the word of God says a Christian ought to be? There's one right and there's one wrong. And church, I'm here to tell you, the word of God is right. The word of God is truth. If the word of God is contrary to your Christian life, then guess what, friends? You got it wrong and the word of God has got it right. This is the roadmap to heaven. This is the guideline to salvation. This Bible describes where the true child of God is. It's not what you think. It's what God's word says. And friends, does your life measure up to God's holy word? Examine yourself, as Paul said. Examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. And you'll see if you're a saint or you'll see if you are an ain't. Oh, church, don't be caught dead without Jesus Christ. Don't be caught being a counterfeit on that day. Don't be a part of that many on that day that will stand there with all their works and all their deeds and all their perfect attendance pins and all their service and all their duties only to hear, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Oh, church, don't leave earth without knowing Jesus Christ. I pray here tonight, if that's you, I pray here tonight, if God has put his finger on you, that tonight you'll get right with God and not leave this building until you know that you know that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Let us pray. Father, I pray tonight you'll take this message, Lord, very simple, Lord, and very short and very direct. But Father, I pray tonight you'll take the message and God may it speak to our hearts. Lord, your word says there are tares sown amongst the wheat in every church across this land of every group of every kind. Lord, I pray tonight if there be some tares here tonight, I pray, Lord, they'll become wheat. I pray tonight, God, you'll show them they're deceiving themselves. I pray tonight you'll show them, Lord, there's coming a day it's going to all come out. There's coming a day they're going to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. But Father, I pray that nobody in this church under my ministry will die and go to hell. Lord, I was sent here for a reason. I was sent here to see souls saved. Lord, I don't want to see anybody in this church die and go to hell. I want to see him again one day in the gates of glory. So Father, I pray the word of God will speak to hearts. Your word's powerful. Your word is a two-edged sword. We can argue with each other, but God, we can't argue scripture. And God, your word tonight spelled out what a true child of God is. It spelled out how to truly be saved. Father, let the word speak to our hearts, and may mankind respond if the Spirit of God has pricked their heart here tonight. And I pray for all these things in Jesus' sweet, precious, and holy name. Amen and amen. Church, here tonight for the invitation, we invite you to come. Here tonight, if you would say, preacher, I'm not sure of my salvation. Maybe I'm one of those ain'ts. I'm not sure if I know Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. But preacher, I want to make sure tonight before I leave this place, I want to make sure before I leave this earth that I won't hear those sad words, depart from me, I never knew you. I want to make sure that all I'm doing is being done for the glory of God. I don't want to deceive myself, but I just want to know. Tonight we invite you to come and talk to me about it and come and step out and say, preacher, I just want to make things right. I'm just here to give you the Word of God. I'm just here to preach the Word of God and to make sure everybody goes to heaven with me when I go. Maybe here tonight, God's calling you to come be a part of this church family. We invite you to come. Maybe here tonight, He's calling you to come pray. This morning, I preached on prayer. I revealed from the Word of God how prayer can change churches, how prayer can change lives. We invite you here tonight to come forward and pray. However God moves in your heart tonight, you come as God's Spirit pricks your heart. Let's stand and sing the invitational song, Brother Larry, as we sing.